Today's daf is Erchin Lamed Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Amud Bet, Ubehekdesh. So the one thing we were left to deal with yesterday that we didn't finish up was the last part of the Mishnah, where it said, if you remember, first we start off with all the kulas. Remember, everything goes lekula in terms of the price, buying it back. We try to make it easy for you to buy back your land.
For the seller.
The person who sold his land, the original seller. We're concerned that we want him to be able to get back his land, so we make it easier for him. But then we say we don't make it so easy, though, because we don't allow him to just sell any other property he has in order to buy this one back. Meaning he should have thought about it from the beginning and sold that property instead of this one. And we want to, on the other hand, somewhat protect the buyer, right? It's like we talked about labor laws and protecting the workers. You know, you also have to protect the employers to a certain extent. You can't make it, you know, you have to help both sides. So, but then they said, "Uvehekdesh mutar bekulan." So all these things at the end of the Mishnah, you can't sell a field that's far in order to get the one back that's closer, or a bad one to get the better one, or to borrow money in order to redeem, or he can't also buy it back in parts. So then they said, "Behekdesh," all this was allowed, and that's a chomer, mi behedyo, mi behekdesh. So now the question is why. So behekdesh, five lines from the bottom. Minani mile, detanu rabanan, v'im ga'ol yig'al. Okay, this is the pasuk about a makdish, someone who sanctifies. Im ga'ol yig'al et hasadeh makdish oto. So if you're going to redeem the field that you sanctified, now we're going to say in order to redeem that field, you're allowed to do all the following things that you weren't allowed to do in a field that you sold. So what do they learn from the double wording of ga'ol yig'al? Melamed shelovev v'go'el v'go'el chatzain. It teaches you that you can both borrow money in order to redeem and also redeem it in parts. So I'm a Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon comes in. Remember that this is Rabbi Shimon. We're going to come back to this. I always think of that joke with the bus driver. You know, you tell someone the joke. You're the bus driver, and then the bus driver's name is Bob, and then you go tell five people got off, four people got off, blah, 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 and then you go back and you say, who's the bus driver, right? And then it's like that. You get into the Gemara, and then you forget, like, who said what. You don't even remember. So I'm telling you, pay attention, because we're going to get back to this Rabbi Shimon. Ma ta'am, what's the reason? Lefi shematzina b'mocher stei achuza, shei yupa kocho. Someone who sells the stei achuza is in good shape. Why? Dimi gia, yovel, veloni gala. He's in a good position because if he doesn't redeem it, what will happen? Choser lebalim biyovel. Therefore, since it's easier for him to get it back, hura kocho shei no lovev goel, vei no goel lechatzim. We don't allow him to get it back in these other easier manners by borrowing money in order to redeem it, or redeeming it in parts. Ava makdish stei achuza, but on the flip side, what do you have? Someone who sanctifies the stei achuza, ho'il shehu rakocho, he actually is in a much weaker position. Shemigia yovel v'loni gala yotzei lekohanim, right? What happens if he doesn't redeem it? Well, it's going to go to the kohanim. Therefore, yupakocho shelavev v'goel v'goel lechatzim. So we're going to allow him to redeem it by in these other methods. So in other words, right, it's like a chumra that ends up being a kula, or a kula that ends up being a chumra, right? Because it's easier for you later, we'll make it harder for you along the way. And the reverse by hektish. Now we're going to bring up two brayto. Tanichada, lovev v'goel v'goel l'chatzayim. You can borrow and redeem l'chatzayim. Now notice what's missing in this sentence? The subject. What case are we talking about? Are we talking about hektish? Are we talking about stei achuza? Or maybe potentially we're talking about something else entirely different, okay? So Rashi says, b'makdish stei achuza. This is talking about someone who's makdish stei achuza. And then this braita matches our Mishnah, right? And the braita that we just saw, which is, in hektish case, you can borrow money in order to redeem. V'tanya idach, eino lovev goel ve'eino goel l'chatzayin. You cannot borrow to redeem, and you cannot redeem l'chatzayin. So this seems to contradict each other, assuming they're both talking about the same case, and according to Rashi, let's just go with Rashi for right now, assuming that we're talking about someone who's makdish. So we see that the second braita goes against not only this braita, it goes against the braita we saw a minute ago also, and it goes against the Mishnah, okay? So the Gemara answers, Lo kashya harabanan harabi Shimon. I told you to remember Rabbi Shimon. Where did Rabbi Shimon appear in the Mishnah? He gave the reason for why lovev goel v'goel l'chatzayim in hektesh. So, according to Rashi, what does this mean? It means, the first brayta that we saw here, lovev goel v'goel l'chatzayim, matches the brayta we saw at the bottom of Lamed Amud Bet that we just saw, we started with today, which matches our Mishnah, and all of that, well, whose name is it said in the brayta? Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now, It's a bit of a problem with Rashi. Tosfot brings up one problem. I'll bring up a second problem. Tosfot says, Perish Rashi, Dal Makdish Dehachuzakai, V'lo Nir'en. Deem Ken have a stam matnitin, Ditnan, Behekdish Mutar B'Kulan, Ki Rabbi Shimon, V'lo Ki Rabbanan. You're then going to say that our stam mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. And additionally, it doesn't say this, but if you look in the Braita that we just read, again, I said, remember Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon do? He brings a reason. He doesn't actually disagree. It's not clear there's two opinions from that Braita. The Braita seems pretty clear. Makdish, Steachuzah, can redeem Lechatzayin and can borrow money to redeem. And it just, Rabbi Shimon's giving the reason. It's not like Rabbi Shimon actually disagrees with someone. So it's a bit difficult. Tosfot says, Omeri, the Ri in Tosfot says, Dekai amocher bayit bebatei arechoma. Okay, our Mishnah set up two things. Someone who buys, who sells a steachuzah, there you can't do these things. Versus, because remember what the whole thing, you can redeem it back. You have a long time to redeem it. But it'll go back to you in the oval year, so therefore we're not so makel. Whereas magdish steachuzah, we're going to be makel for you because you won't end up getting it back. It'll go to the kohani. But now we have this, Tosfot says, the machloket actually that they're bringing up here doesn't have to do with either of those cases. It has to do with a middle case. You could call it a middle case. I'm going to call it a middle case because in those cases it's clear, either yes or no. And in these cases, this case is a machloket. What's this case? And he proves it based on Kiddushin, that if you're mocher bayit bebatei arechoma, okay, if you sell a house in a walled city, what's the situation? It's not like selling or steachuzah, which we'll revert back to in the oval year. What happens there? You have a year to redeem it. If you don't redeem it in a year, what happens? It becomes, no, you have a year. Okay, let's clarify, just so you have it all straight, okay? If you're mocher steachuzah, okay, what do you have? You can't redeem it for 2 years. Starting from 2 years, you can redeem it, right? From 2 years until whenever, right? And in Yovel, it goes back to you. Okay, when it comes to a batei arechoma, a house in a walled city, you can redeem it. We're going to see this is actually coming up in the next Mishnah. Mm-hmm. You can redeem it immediately, okay? Or we'll see maybe according to one opinion, I'll already give you a sneak preview. After 2 days, you have to give the guy at least 2 days, okay? Until a year. After 1 year, it becomes the lokach's forever, okay? He gets it forever if you don't redeem it. And Yovel has nothing to do with this. Lo teitzei b'Yovel. It says, litzmitut, he gets it forever. Lo yeitzei b'Yovel. So in this case, which is sort of not like steachuzah because it doesn't revert back to in the Yovel year, so one could say we'll be meikel. On the other hand, it's a little different than the makdish because it's just a different case. I don't know exactly what the reason here. Also, you don't have a lot of time to redeem. So you'd think we'd be meikel, but maybe there's less interest in being Mekel here also. Not exactly sure why there would be less interest, but Tosfot claims that that's what the Machloket is about and it's not the Rabbi Shimon referred to on the page before that I told you to remember, not him. It's a different opinion of Rabbi Shimon that comes up in Kiddushin.
Maybe it has something to do with, in a walled city, it's more urban and you don't want blanks, you don't want places to be empty or whatever. You know, people know what's going on all the time and in a stay
so that things don't revert back.
You know what it is. You need more people, and there are more people around.
So what's the effect of more people being around, wanting more people?
Because you wouldn't want it to be empty, or you wouldn't want it. You would want to know who your neighbors are.
Mm-hmm.
You should live very close.
And yeah, but this isn't really empty. It's a matter of you've sold. It's either the first person's living there or the other person's living there. You're saying if you sell it, maybe you're not living there. You don't want to feel the house that no one's living in.
You're not living there, but also your neighbors. Who they know who's going to be living there?
Uh-huh. And that things won't change and revert back, right? Could be. Okay, yeah. Maybe as we go on, we'll try to figure out all why there are these particular differences. Okay, now we're going to learn about the Mocher Bayit Bebatei Arechoma Mishnah. HaMocher Bayit Bebatei Arechoma Harei Ze Goel Miyad. Okay, like we said, immediately. V'Goel Kol 12 Chodesh. Harei Ze Kimin Ribit Ve'Eino Ribit. It's a little bit like Ribit, but it's not Ribit. What's Ribit? Interest. Why is it like interest? Well, let's think about it. The person who's selling his house can't afford, right? He needs money. Well, he's like a person who needs a loan. What happens? He sells his property. You give him money. Let's say it's me, okay? I'm poor. I sell my house. You give me money for the house. So that's as if I took out a loan on this money. I now have a year in which to return the money, right? If I don't return the money, you keep my house. If I return the money, then what happens? Well, you get your money back. Okay, it's clear that, by the way, this isn't like the staff whose hour every year goes down in price. You actually return the same amount because it's within the same year. But what did you get in addition? What's the interest? You got use of the land while you owned it, the peirot. So theoretically, you gave me a loan and got back extra money for it. So that's basically like interest. Why is it not exactly interest? Because ribid is only when you do it in a loan form. This isn't a form of a loan. This is a form of a sale. I sold you the property. So it's not exactly ribid, but it's like ribid. However, it's obviously allowed because the Torah says it's allowed. Meit ha-mocher, now we're moving on to a different halacha. Again, we'll get back to all these halachas in the Gemara. Meit ha-mocher, what if the seller dies and his son wants to redeem it within that first year? Is he allowed to? Sure, yig'al b'no. Okay, later they're going to say, isn't this quite obvious? Wouldn't you just assume that would be obvious? Why is it not so obvious? Why is the Mishnah need to say it? Meit ha-lokeach, if the buyer dies, also yig'al miyab b'no. You can redeem it from his son. Just because he's dead doesn't mean you can't redeem it. Again, you only have the year, but within that year. Ein monim shana. Now we're going to talk about how do we count the years. Ela misha'asha machar. From the moment he sold, shene'emar ad milot lo shana. Okay, because it says until milot lo shana. For him a year, meaning right, as opposed to counting a calendar year. We've had this before. You count it from the time it actually happened. Kishu omer tmima. Okay, look at the whole pasuk. Vim lo yigael ad milot lo shana tmima. It's vayikar kaf he lamed. Okay, ad milot lo shana tmima. Okay, tmima comes up right from Sperat HaOmer also, Shefa Shabbatot tmimot, full, complete. So what does that mean? Complete. Lahaviyat chodesh ha'ibur. Ah, it means that if it was a leap year, it's not going to be 12 months, it's going to be 13 months. Rebbe Omer, li tein lo shana v'ibura. He says, no, tmima means, okay, now that's not so clear what he means, but we're going to see in the Gemara, what does he mean here? It goes by the solar year, not the lunar year. Okay, tmima almost sounds like a more complete year, which means till the sun gets around the you know, its cycle, 365 days, it goes by the solar calendar, not by the lunar. Higia yom shnei masar chodesh v'lo nigala. We get now to the day of the 12 months are up. Haita chalutalo, it becomes his forever. Echad halokeach, these laws are true, both for everything we said in the Mishnah, both for one who bought a batei arechoma, and echad anitan lo b'matana. If you gave a gift to someone of a batei arechoma, it's also going to be these same laws, shene'emar litzmitut. We're going to see how they darshan from litzmitut, that it includes a matana also. We'll get there in the Gemara. First thing the Gemara says, very simple. Man yitin delo ki Rebbe. Our Mishnah must not follow Rebbe. Titanya, Rebbe omer yamim. Okay, it says yamim. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk before the one we just read. The ish ki imkor beit moshav ir choma. Someone who sells, right, a house in a walled city. Vaitagu lato ad tom shnat mimkaho. He can redeem it until the end of the year, which is very similar to, right, the next pasuk is, if you didn't do it, ad milot lo shanat mima. Here you have the same wording, just in the positive, right? And he can redeem it for a full year. Yamim tiye gulato. So what does he darshan from yamim? Yamim is plural, 2 days. That means you have to wait 2 days before you can redeem it. So that's where I told you before. There's a machloket. Our Mishnah says immediately. And Rebbe, right? It's Rebbe, says it's you need to wait 2 days before you can actually buy it back. Okay. Hard to imagine someone would be able to buy it back immediately, but okay. It's like when you make that internet order and then you immediately realize you made a mistake and you don't really want to sell it. You know, you can't cancel it. It takes like a headache to try to cancel your order, right? Some sites have 30 minutes, right? Some sites don't. You have to start messing, you know. Once it's done, and you have to wait a little bit till you can cancel it. Okay. So, Berabanan, now we're going to have a ping pong. Who darshans what from what words? So if Rebbe darshans yamim to be 2 days, and Rabbanan don't think it's 2 days, then what do they do with yamim? Ha yamim mai avdele, mi baile mi yom li yom. What does he say? Days means we're going to count the year from this day you bought it until that same day the following year. The Rebbe mi yom li yom minale. So where does Rebbe get this from if he can't learn it from yamim? So, nafkale mi ad tom shnat mimkaro. It says, until the end of the year you sold it, which sounds like it goes by when you sold it. for Rabbanan, so obviously Rabbanan could have learned that halacha from there. They didn't need to learn it from Yamim. So what did they do with that pasuk? Hahume ba'ale shnat mimkaro shelo velo shnat shel minyan haolam. Well, that is basically the same thing. So hold off for a second. What does he say? Shnat mimkaro means his year and not the year of minyan haolam, which sounded pretty much like what Rebbe said. But then we say v'yamim. Now we're going to change a little bit what he said about yamim. Yabim mebaile lemeit leit. What Yamim comes to teach you is we do it not only by the day that you sold it, as opposed to the calendar year, but right, calendar year would mean, let's say we start from Rosh Hashanah and end at Rosh Hashanah. So if you sold it on Pesach, right, you would have maybe a year and a half. In other words, it would be a full year of calendar year or something like that. Nobody thinks that that's the case. But what does Yamim then come to teach you? Meid le'eid. It's not only by the day, but by the hour of the day that you sold it. Like we talked about with the animals, right, that your animal is good for a year from the actual hour he was born, right, which we said was a little crazy how they calculate, you know, that they kept track of what hour animals were born here. You'd also have to keep track of what hour you sold the house. De'i, now, what do we say? De'i mi ad tom shnat mim karo, havamina, if we just said till the end of the year, havamina mi yom li yom in, me'et le'et lo, right? You would have thought just days and not hours. Therefore, katab rachmani yamim. So then they say, v'rebi me'et le'et minale. So then where does Rebbe get me'et le'et? Nafkale mi t'mima. He says t'mima comes to teach you me'et le'et. For Rabbanan, what does Rabbanan do with Tmima? Oh, Tmima we already darshaned. Hahu mebaile li'ibura. Remember, Chachamim said Tmima comes to teach that it includes, if it's a 13-month year, it'll be 13 months. If it's a 12-month year, it'll be 12 months. But then they say, wait a minute. So now we're going to say Tmima, according to Rebbe, means meid leid. According to Chachamim, it means lavishnat ibura. But Rebbe himself said it means to teach you that it's a solar year. Remember that? So Rebbe nami ha'mibay leid leibura. So what do they say? Hachinami, you're right. Miyom. So they cancel out that Tmima is meid leid. It doesn't teach you that according to Rebbe. Rabbanan, hachinami, miyom liyom meid leid me'ad tom shnat min karo nafka. Okay? Actually, he learns Ad Tom Shnat Mim Karo comes to teach you until the completion. In other words, maybe you could say the word Tom comes to teach you. Completion teaches you the hours, and Shnat teaches you the year. Okay? So we basically have, just if we want to review, Tmima, according to each of them, has to do with the Shnat Ibor, which according to Chachamim means add an extra month, and according to Rebbe, it means a 365-day year and not 354 days. Yamim comes to teach you, according to Chachamim, miyom liyom and me'ed le'ed. Yamim, according to Rebbe, taught you, you have to wait 2 days. Ad tom shnat mim kiro, according to Chachamim, taught you that it's a regular year and not a calendar year, right? He splits between a regular year and the hours, whereas Rebbe learns all of that from Ad tom shnat mim kiro, that it's both miyom liyom and me'ed le'ed, right? That it goes by those days and the hours.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else that Rebbe or anybody else wants something by the sun cycle, the solar cycle? It seems
weird.
Yeah.
So my guess is, okay, if I had to guess why he does this, first of all, you have to remember, our calendar is sort of a combination. Now, it's true. Normally, you'd say more like Rabbanan, which is just include, this year it's going to be a 13-month year. A different year, it'll be a 12-month year. But my sense is that Rebbe wants to be Mekel on allowing you to buy it back, and he's just giving you those extra 11 days to buy it back. That's my sense about why he's saying, what would motivate him to say a solar year, and I think he just wants to give the person a little bit more time to buy it back. That's my sense. It's, again, these are all social laws. They're trying to protect people who have to sell their land because they have no money and allow them to buy it back. Yeah.
So they did keep a solar calendar that they knew
there
was a
solar calendar? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They talk about it a lot in all different contexts. Yeah, they understood that there was a solar calendar that went 365 days. That's clear.
Didn't the Romans use a solar calendar back then?
Also, they needed it because otherwise you would have what the Muslims have where the holidays flip through the year.
Right. No, but that's different. That doesn't mean there's a solar calendar. That just means you're conscious of fixing things to match the sun, as opposed to saying there's a whole separate calendar, which is a solar calendar. Right.
But I think they're always working against it. They know what's going on. I'm sure they were aware of the
date. Yeah, they were definitely aware that other people kept the solar calendar. I think that was obvious. And, you know, and Shmuel talks about it, the solar cycle. Like, there's all sorts of, Shmuel is very into the stars and astrology, and he talks about this a lot. Harezo kimin ribit. Now we get to the min ribit part. Vahatanya. So our Mishnah says basically this is sort of like ribit, but it's not really ribit. But there's a brayta that says harezo ribit gemura. Ela shatorahi tirto. This is actually really ribit. It's just the Torah allowed it. Okay? It's a case where the Torah matters ribit. So how do we reconcile these two sugyot, the brayta versus our Mishnah? Am Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Ha Rabbanan. These are two different approaches. Soon we'll see what's the difference between their approaches, really. Why do they hold differently? Titanya, here's a bride to what we're going to see. It's a bit of a different case. Haresha Yano Sheba Chavero Mana. Okay, his friend owed him 100 zuzim. Vasalo Sadeu Mecher. So the Love, instead of giving back the money right now, gives him his field sort of as a sale. He says, keep my field right now. I'll sell it to you, so to speak. Sort of as collateral. You take my field now. If I don't pay you back the money, then you give me back my field. Then you keep my field. If I pay you back the money, then you give me back your field. It's very similar to this case. So what happens? Bizman shamocher ochel perot. If the person who sold him the field gives him the field but comes in to get all the produce, then it's mutar. But lokech ochel perot asur. But if the person who he gave it to is collateral, the lender, the malveh, he eats the payrot, it's usher, because in the end, what will happen? If he returns the money and he ate the payrot, then what's going to happen? It's ribit. Okay? So that's Tanakama, they say it's usher. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Tanakama, who says this is usher in that case, will say that our case is actually ribit, it's just the Torah allowed it. This was a way the Torah allowed someone to sell their property temporarily and get it back. You can see why the Torah would do this, because if you said it's ribit, then basically why would anyone want to buy your property knowing that you could buy it back and you're going to have to give, you know, they can't use any of the produce. It just seems like a weird kind of sale. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af bizman shalokeach ochel perot mutar, even when he eats perot, it's still mutar. So now we're going to have to figure out, okay, in a minute, we'll first finish the brayta and then we'll see why they disagree. But then Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's mutar, will say this is like ribit, but it's allowed. It's not really ribit. Okay, it just sounds like ribit. Again, why is it not really ribit? Because it's done in the form of a sale and not in the form of a loan. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda in this brayta tries to prove against Rabbanan. They bring a case in order to prove that Rabbanan are wrong. Maaseh bebaitus ben zonin, he was this wealthy man. Shasas sadeu mecher, al pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, velokech ochel perot haya. What happened here? Gave his land as a mecher, and the person he sold it to ate perot. So what do you see? It works. So, what? And it's not ribit. Amrulo, they said back to him, Chachamim, Misham Raya, you want to prove it from that story? Mocher ochel perot haya, velolokech. You got the story all wrong. It was the seller who was eating perot, it wasn't the lokech. Sure, the lokach can't. Okay, so now we have an obvious disagreement about what exactly happened in this case, in which case the story can't be approved for anything. So now they're going to explain what's the root of their halak, of their debate. My benayu. Usually they don't say my benayu, they say b'may kamiflage. It's a strange use here, but my benayu usually means what's the difference between them, but what they're really saying is what's the root of the machloket. So we're going to have two options. Sadecha b'ribit ika benayu. What's sadecha b'ribit? Uncertain interest, which means in this case, what's going to be, both these cases, it's unclear whether there will actually be interest or not. Why? If you don't return the money, then the guy keeps the field, and the field is his from the moment you gave it to him, in which case he's eating payroll, he did nothing wrong at all. There's no return of loan, there's no interest. So therefore, it's only if you pay back the money that this will turn into interest. So, tzadachav ribit ikibinayu, tanakama savar, tzadachav ribit asur. It's forbidden to take ribit in a case where the ribit was uncertain, right? Just because it's uncertain ribit, in the end it's ribit. V'Rabbi Yehuda savar, tzadachav ribit mutar. Since it's uncertain, you're allowed to make a deal where there might be interest in the end because it's not clear there'll actually be interest taken. That's one way to understand it. Rava Amar Dekulei Alma Tzadachab Ribit Asur. What do you mean? You can't take Ribit just because when you made the deal, it wasn't clear whether it'll become Ribit or not. If it's interest, it's interest. That everyone agrees is Asur. V'hacha, but what's the case here? B'Ribit Almanat Lachzir Ikabenayu. Here, the question is, okay, now we're going to reinterpret the case. The case is where I gave you a field as collateral. The question is, can you eat the payroll now until I return you the money? It's obvious that when I return you the money, you're going to return me not only the field, but everything that you ate in the field. In other words, you're going to give me back the value of what you ate, because otherwise it will be rebeat. Okay, now this, what do we say? Tzadachad rebeat, there's two possibilities. Either it will turn into rebeat or it won't. So if it doesn't turn into rebeat, then the sale's a good sale, and that's, I don't pay you back the money, so you keep my land, and that's the end of it. And all the payroll you ate are obviously yours. But if the other option happens, which is that I return you the money, then you return me the land, and you return me any produce that you ate. So now, or consumed in any way. So now, what's the machloket between them? Since, now here's very interesting, because this gets to what's the problem with rebeat. Is it the ma'aseh that's a problem? If you say this is usur, even if you're going to return me the money, it's still going to be usur, because the act, you basically potentially took interest, right? You basically said, well, I'm taking payroll for this loan, I'm going to end up with more, right? Even though I'm going to return it to you down the road, but at that moment you actually took it, okay? So I was thinking, again, this is a different comparison, but it's like putting food on the plata. Like, let's say you put up a soup on Shabbat day. Okay, forget if you're Sephardi, but if you're Ashkenazi and you put something with liquid on the plata, something cold, on Shabbat, and it, you leave it there for 10 minutes, okay? So it doesn't actually heat up, but did you do something usur? Because the maaseh was usur. The maaseh of putting it on the plata could be that in itself is asur, okay, even if it doesn't actually heat up. I don't know if it's a great example, but that's what popped into my head. So here, taking the rebeat, even though you're going to return it, is asur. According to the second opinion, no. It's not the ma'aseh that concerns us, it's the totza'ah, right? The result. In the end, you didn't take any extra money, so it's fine, because you returned whatever money was extra. So that's the machloka between them, according to Rava. Now we're back to the other case, which we said was a very obvious case. If the seller dies, obviously his son has the option, if it's within that same time frame, right, to buy it back. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Mahu detema, it says, you might have thought, because it says in the pasuk, ishkim kor beit moshav, if a person sells, right, vaitagulato. So what do they say? It sounds like amarachmana, right? Ishkim kor, b'hai lav machar. It has to be the person who sold it, and not anybody else. And the son didn't actually sell it. Kamash malam, but then what does it say? Vaya ishkim kor beit moshav yerchoma, vaita geulato. Geulato is not, it's referring to the geulav v'sadeh, right? So it's saying mikomakom, as long it can be redeemed in any way by any person, right? Obviously, any person that was replacing the owner. Meid halokeach yigal miyad b'no. So again, pshita. Obviously, if the buyer dies, you can buy it back from his son. So ma'u detema lakone oto, it's the Amar Rahmana. The pasuk says, "V'lo yigal malo shanat mima, v'kam habayad asher ba'ir, asher lo choma, litzmitut," okay, forever, lakone oto l'dorotav, for the person who purchases it and for all his future generations. So you might have thought it's only for the purchaser and not for his son. Lakone oto Amar Rahmana, v'halo kanan, this son did not acquire it. Kamash malan, or he did not purchase it, I should say. Kamash malan vaitagulato mikomakom. Again, the word vaitagulato comes to include any way it can be redeemed, whether from him or from his son. Ein monim lo shana ela misha'asha machar. So now again, we don't go by calendar years, we go by a full year from the day that you purchased it. Tanu rabanan. Shana eini yodea im shana la rishon, im shana la sheni. Now all of a sudden we're adding another buyer. Let's say I sold my field to you and you sold it to another person. Okay, so now when I go to buy it back from, okay, I sold it to you in January. You sold it to someone else in April. Do we go by January or do we go by April? Because I'm buying it back now from the April person because he's the one who owns the field. So is it a year from when I sold it or is it a year from when it got sold the second time? Kishu omer amilo lo shana tmima. Notice it says, right, until it's filled for him a year, you know, complete. Until the year is complete for him. Heve shana l'rishon. Therefore, it must be from the first sale. Lemi chalut. Okay, so now, fine. It's clearly a year from January. But who gets to keep the field? Is it the first buyer or the second buyer? Is it the person I sold it to or is it the person he sold it to? So, interestingly enough, machloket emoraim. Rabbi Elazar omer l'rishon chalut. It's to the first person that I sold it to originally. Rabbi Yochanan omer l'sheni chalut. Okay, it's to the second one. Bishlama l'Rabbi Elazar d'lidide kamaninan. We understand it's to Rabbi Elazar because we already said we're going by his years. So obviously it must mean it's going to be his forever when I forfeit my right to buy it back by the year passing. So it's going to go to him. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan my time, huh? So Rabbi Yochanan actually is very simple. I'm Rabbi Abba bar Mama. Ma machar lo rishon l'sheni kol zchut shetavo liyado. When the first person sold his land to the second person, what did he sell him? He sold him whatever rights he has. Whatever stake he has in the land goes to the new buyer. So if I sold the property to you, and you basically are going to end up, when the year is up, it being yours forever, if you sold that land to somebody else, they get what you would have gotten. You basically said, it's no longer mine, and you basically give up your rights on it, and he gets to keep it forever. Now that we're on Rabbi Abba bar Mama, we're going to bring a few other cases. Rabbi Abba bar Mama, these are your classic cases, even though they're not the ones that we usually use when we talk about this, but we always talk about these famous Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni paradoxes, but strange cases, right, where, you know, the classic, you have a kid, okay, how does it work? You have a twins born, one is born at the very end, the last day of Adar Rishon in a leap year, and the second one is born a little while later on Adar Sheni, on the first day of Adar Sheni. So what's the deal with their bar mitzvah, right? This also their brit milah and all sorts of things. If it's Shabbat, you can end up with really weird cases. Anyway, what happens? The bar mitzvah of the one born on Aleph Adar Sheni, if when their bar mitzvah year comes, or bat mitzvah for a girl, comes and the it's not a leap year, so the date of the bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah is going to be Aleph Adar Rishon. And the date of the second, of the first one that was born, is going to be the last day of Adar Rishon. So they're going to end up with a month's distance. I know you love these cases, Aviva. So here we're going to have a bunch of cases like that, okay? Our mom is going to talk about them. Shnei batei arei choma. There's two houses in a walled city. I skipped the word machar. Someone sells two houses, it could be two people sell them, it doesn't matter. Echad b'chamishasar ba'adar rishon, one on the 15th day of Adar Rishon, ve'echad b'echad ba'adar hasheni, and the second on the first of Adar Sheni. Zesh machar lo ba'adar hasheni, the one who sold on the second Adar, meaning he sold it later, kevan shehi yom echad ba'adar shel shana ba'a, altalo shana zeh. Altalo shana, okay, so what's going to happen when it becomes the first of Adar Rishon in the next year, right? He's going to actually have less than a year because it's going to be from the 15th of Adar Sheni until Adar Rishon. Okay, the first of Adar Rishon. But Zesh Machalo B'chamishasar Shal Adar Rishon, and the one who sold it 2 weeks earlier than him, Lo Al Talo Shana Al Chamishasar B'Adar Shal Shana Ba'a. His year is going to be up only on the 15th of Adar, and this is because when there's no two Adars, we just go by the date, right, the day of the month, and that's why it will work. So Matkif La Ravina, but Ravina says, wait, doesn't make any sense. V'lei Male, why doesn't the person on the first, who sold it in the first Adar, on the 15th of Adar, say to the person from the second Adar, Ana Kadim Shchin Nura Mikame Didach. I came before you. I kindled my fire before you kindled yours. So why is your year up before mine? Why would your year be up before mine? So Mishum Da Amarle, you can say to him, here's the answer to Ravina, Ah Nachit Libura. Sorry, but you know, tough luck. You bought it in the Yovel year, so in the leap year. So what do you do? In the leap month, actually. I don't know if we talked about this before, but the Adar Rishon is considered, you would think Adar Sheni is the leap month, but it's not. Adar Rishon is considered the leap month. Okay? So you bought it in the leap month. Because of that, you know, you lose out. Okay? So be smart. If you're poor and you need to sell your property and you can wait a few more days, you know, wait till the next month, because otherwise you're basically losing time in ability to buy it back. Then Rabbi Abba, since we're already on this, Rabbi Abba Bar Mama is going to bring another case like this. Nodulo shnei tzla'im. Okay, he had two lambs born. Cha b'chamisha asar shal Adar Rishon v'cha b'acha b'Adar Hasheni. Again, on the 15th of Adar Rishon and the second on the first on Adar Sheni. Zeshin olalo b'Adar Hasheni kevan shiyeh yom cha b'Adar shel shana b'a al talo shana. Again, he's going to be a year old. What's the relevance of a year old? The question is, what's the issue here? Some people say the issue is these are both bechorim, and the bechor has to be sacrificed within its first year. Some people say it's talking about the lamb for Pesach that has to be sacrificed within its first year. Zeshen, it doesn't really matter either which way. So zeshen olalo b'chamisha asar b'adar rishon lo al talo shana al chamisha asar b'adar. Right, he's still going to be within his first year until the 15th of Adar. Okay, so again, his first year will end after the one who was born later. Shal shana ba. Matif la Ravina. Again, Ravina asked, but I ate vegetables before you, so theoretically, my year should be up before yours. I wonder, it's actually funny, because they're making up a conversation between two lambs. That's already funny. But the funnier thing is he's saying, if the whole thing is he has to get sacrificed within that time, then it's almost like, well, what are you in such a rush for to be sacrificed, right? On the other hand, you could say if it's actually talking about Pesach, it could be he's missed, you know, he wants to be past a year so that he doesn't get sacrificed. So that maybe makes a lot more sense in terms of these talking lambs to each other and saying, you know, it's not unfair, I'm going to get sacrificed and you're not. De'amrale, so again, Mishum De'amrale, you can answer him back, At nechita li bura, ana lo nechita li bura, right? You were born on the leap year, on the leap month, I was not. So now they say, obviously, Hatu Lamali, why did Rabbi Abba Bar Mama need to bring the second case? I mean, it's cute, but, you know, or it's like another interesting ramification, but why does he need to bring them both? Hainu ha, it's really one and the same. So they say, Amau detema hatam dichtiv tmima, hacha deloktiv tmima lo. You might have thought, here it says tmima, and that's why it would be the case. But there it doesn't say tmima, so maybe you would actually give it extra time. Because it says shana in both places, keves ben shanato, and there it says ad tom shana, right? So we learn one from the other, and what's true for one is going to be true for the other. Okay, continuing along. Kishu omer tmima, Rebbe omer litein shanati burai. So we're going to understand, even though I told you where Rebbe says it's 365 days, it's not so clear from his wording in the Mishnah. Now we're going to see it in the Braita. Tanu Rabbanan. Shana tmima, Rebbe omer moneh 365 yamim, kiminyan yamor hachama. V'chachamim omerim moneh 12 chodesh miyom liyom, v'im nitabra nitabra lo. Okay, there are your two opinions, 365 days, or the lunar year, whether or not it had a leap year or not. It was a leap year or not. Higeh yom 12 chodesh v'lo nigal. So tanu rabbanan, litzmitut, so now they're going to dash in this word litzmitut, l'chalutin, that's what litzmitut means, forever. Davar acher, litzmitut, lirabot atamatana. Different way of darshing litzmitut is to say, not only for a sale, but also if you gave it as a gift. So my time, why do we get this from litzmitut? Doesn't litzmitut mean forever? Where do we get matana? Samit smitut. It could have just said samit, which that lashon already means forever. The fact that it says smitut comes to teach you, birabim, it comes to include something extra. What has come to include? Ah, these laws not only are true for a sale, they're also true for a gift. Amarua Rabbanan kemet Rav Papa. So Rabbanan said before Rav Papa the following: Keman delo kerabbi Meir. This must not hold like Rabbi Meir. De'i kerabbi Meir ha'amar matana ena kemecher. When it comes to Yovel and land going back to the original owner on the Yovel year, Chachamim say even if you gave it as a gift, it goes back to you, ancestral property. But Rabbi Meir said if you give it as a gift, it doesn't revert back to you. So therefore, the rabbi said to Rav Papa, it must be that Rabbi Meir wouldn't agree with this either. Rabbi Meir, who holds the matana is not like a mecher, would say the same thing by Batei Rechoma. So Amar Papa, not necessarily, afilu tema Rabbi Meir, shanehacha de Rabbi Rachmana litzmitut. Because litzmitut is birabim, he would even, yes, logically he would state matana is not like a mecher, and when it comes to Yovel, we don't hold that way. But what do we say? Right? If you give it, he's basically saying if you give it as a gift, it doesn't go back to you in the Yovel. But when it comes to Batei Rechoma, because there's this word litzmitut, which is birabim, and because it's plural, it comes to include something additional, comes to include matana, and even Rabbi Meir would agree. Then, Amarur Rabbanan Rav Papa. So then the rabbi said back to Rav Papa, or Amala Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Rav Papa. Some people said, the Rav Huna said this to Rav Papa. V'haga b'yovel d'chtiv tashuvu l'rabot et ha-matana. But also by Yovel, the rabbis darshan it from a ribui in the words. It says tashuvu b'rabim in plural. They say to include the matana. V'Rabbi Meir lo kamirabim. And Rabbi Meir doesn't hold by that drasha. So therefore, Elaha vadai delo k'Rabbi Meir. We'd have to say, since there it all comes out of a drasha of a plural, and here it comes from a drasha from the plural, basically Rabbi Meir must not hold this way. So basically Rav Papa is convinced that Rabbi Meir, you're right. Okay, first he thought Rabbi Meir might hold here, and then he's convinced that not. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamakdish bayit bebatei arechoma. Another brayta. If you're makdish a house, okay, now we're talking about being makdish a house in a batei arechoma, in a walled city. Hareze goel vegoel leolam. You can redeem it forever. It's not like a sechuzah that in the Yovel year goes to the Kohen. No. Just like when you sell it, nothing happens to it in the Yovel year. Also, when you're makdish it, nothing happens to it in the Yovel year. But goalo achir miyada hekdesh. Let's say someone else redeems it. What happens? Then it's just like a regular sale. Higia yom 12 chodesh velo nigal hayach chalulo. It becomes his forever. If he spies it from the Hekdesh and you don't redeem it within a year, you basically, if you're Makdish, if someone else redeems it, you have a year in which to buy it back from him. You don't, it becomes his. Minan, Emile, where do we get this from? Amar Shmuel, Damakrat, Lakone Oto. Because it says it goes Lakone Oto, Afilu Miad Hekdesh, even if he buys it from Hekdesh. The Lichlite Hekdesh, why don't we say the Hekdesh keeps it forever, just like we do with the Seach Huzal. It says it becomes his lidorotav for all future generations. Now, Hekdesh doesn't have future generations. It's only human beings. Therefore, it must not apply. It says it's litzmitud, and then it says lo yotze biyovel. So if it's litzmitud, if it's forever, then obviously lo yotze biyovel. What's that coming to teach you? What if you sell it and within your year, the Yovel year comes? You sell it right before the Yovel. You might have thought you get it back in the Yovel year. It doesn't go back in the Yovel year. Okay, we're going to go on just a little more so I get a little ahead for the Siyum so we can finish the Siyum on Friday. Mishnah. In the beginning, people would, when it comes the last day of the year, the buyer would hide so that he couldn't be found. And if he couldn't be found, well then you couldn't buy it back from him. If you wanted to buy it back on that last day, you could put your ma'od in one of the lishakot in the Beit HaMikdash, one of the hall, what are they called? Chambers, thank you. And then you could break into the house and just go live in there. And whenever the guy wanted to get his money, he would just go to the Beit HaMikdash and get his money. So I'm a Rava. Rava says, "Mi takana toshalila." The fact that Hillel had to make a special takana, what can you infer? It sounds like normally this kind of sale wouldn't work. Okay, it's only because he made a takana. But otherwise, it sounds like it wouldn't work. By the way, it makes sense. Hillel did this. Hillel was about to keep Prusball to make it easier for people to borrow. Again, he's making it people poor to have opportunities. So, from his takana, what can we infer? If someone says, this will be your get on the condition that you give me 200 zuz, vinitanalo, and she gives him 200 zuz, midato, if she gives it to him and he knows about it, migoleshet, ba'al korcho, or not when he knows about it, if he agrees to it. But ba'al korcho, if he's not willing to take the money, eina migoleshet, she's not divorced. Okay? Because he didn't want to take it, just like that guy didn't want to take it. So it sounds like if the guy didn't want to take it, it wouldn't have been a good sale unless Hillel made his takana. So it sounds like in this get case, it wouldn't actually be a get. So then they say, right, midi'istrich leila hillel letikune, from the fact that you need to make this takana, teaches us the nitina ba'al korcho havia nitina, that giving something against someone's will is the fact that he needs to be mitaken, that nitina against his will is nitina, ha be'alma, without his takana, nitina ba'al kocho, lo havia nitina, it wouldn't work. But matkefle, Rav Papa, vitema, Rav Shimi bar Ashi, dilma ki itzrich le'lehel le'tikune, shelo befanav. Aval befanav, bein b'nyato, bein ba'al kocho, havia matana. There's three options here. There's one where you give it and the person says, great, I'm happy to take it. That everyone agrees is obviously valid. There's one, our case, where the guy was hiding, and he's not there, and you do it against his will. That, we say, wouldn't work normally, but works in this takana. But the get case could be an in-between case where she goes in front of his face, he just says, I'm not willing to take the money. In that case, That might be a case, since it's bifanav, it would work anyway. Okay? So therefore, you can't infer from his case, which is the case shelo bifanav. Lo bifanav person obviously doesn't work. But bifanav, even if he doesn't want it, it still could work. Okay, now we're going to have a different version of this whole back and forth, which is kind of similar, but the different version is they're going to start from the conclusion and assume that was their first assumption, then that gets rejected. Iga de Amri, there were those who say, Amar Rava, the Rava said, Mitakanato shel Hillel, Hareza Gitei Chamanat Shagili Matayim Zuzun Nutana, Bein Midato, Bein Baal Kocho, Havya Netina. We can infer from his takana that in a different case, and it's already, in the beginning he said they sound like the same case. Now he says, oh, no. In this case, it should work whether he wants to accept it, whether he doesn't want to accept it. Why? Right? Because it was bifanav. But he itzrich lehillel l'tikune, but Hillel's takana was specifically shelo bifanav, when the person wasn't there. Aval bifanav, but if he was there, bein midato, bein baal korcho, havya netina. And then, according to this version, it's going to be the reverse conclusion. Matkef la Rav Papa v'tamer Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, they questioned either Rav Papa or Shimi Bar Ashi, v'dilma bein bifanav bein shelo bifanav midato im baal korchalo, v'hillel might itzrich le'takin. Maybe Hillel was referring to, right, in other words, Hillel was referring to specifically this case where he was hiding. But he would say the exact same thing, and that's either which way was Baal Korcho. We have two categories, according, maybe. Maybe it's just willingly or unwillingly. It doesn't matter whether Bifanav or Shelo Bifanav. The reason the case was Shelo Bifanav is because that was the case. And that was what was happening Bashetach, but it's not that he would think it would be different if the person was actually there and didn't want to accept the money. It might be the same thing. So we basically, it's inconclusive what really would be the case in the get case if the husband was there and just said, I don't want to accept it. Okay?